Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Joan Michelson and at Green Connects DC. And by the way, we are also on iTunes and TuneIn and Women's Radio Network. It's summer. If you are planning a vacation this summer, you may be looking for a hotel or resort that aligns with your eco-friendly values. There are a lot of options today to help identify them, and Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, and many other hotel chains have gotten on the green bandwagon. Now you can go on travel sites, Expedia, Orbitz, and TripAdvisor, and find green hotels, those that seek to reduce their carbon footprint. You can even check out Green Key Global at greenkeyglobal.com, which has been rating hotels on their sustainability practices, too. But how are they doing it? Today, we have the perfect person to ask. Cindy Ortega is the Senior Vice President and Chief Sustainability Officer of MGM Resorts International. Cindy oversees the environmental sustainability initiatives throughout MGM worldwide, including natural resource conservation like water and energy, sustainable new construction, which we'll talk a lot about today, and environmentally sensitive company operations. Prior to her role, she was Vice President, Chief Financial Officer for Corporate Services at MGM. So she brings a unique financially based mindset to these challenges. A lot of Chief Sustainability Officers come from either communications or environmental science, and she comes from the finance side, which is really striking, and I look forward to our discussion today. Cindy is a graduate of UNLV and has been at MGM for 24 years, which in today's world is incredible, especially for women. She's received many honors and awards, including being recognized by Green Building and Design Magazine as one of the 10 most powerful women in sustainability in the U.S. in 2014. That is remarkable. Welcome to Green Connections, Cindy.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let me put MGM's portfolio into perspective here with a few statistics. MGM Resorts includes 23 resorts worldwide with over 62,000 employees. Those resorts include the popular Las Vegas locations of the Bellagio, MGM Grand, Mandalay Bay, the Mirage, New York, New York, Excalibur, Circus Circus, and City Center, which is the largest privately funded construction project in the history of the United States, I found out, at $9 billion and 18 million square feet. That's over 312 football fields. I'm having a really hard time envisioning that, and I do have to get back to Las Vegas and see it. So MGM is developing also a resort here in D.C. at National Harbor in our backyard, so we're very excited about that. So, Cindy, let me start off with, how do you balance luxury and sustainability?
Well, you know, it has always been this idea or notion that when you build something green, there's some kind of a trade-off or you have to give something back. And that's really what the City Center project advanced green building the most by dispelling that notion. And the way that we do it is that we really pay attention to picking the right design right in the beginning, because what really makes a building most green is in the way it uses natural resources. So it's in the way that you air condition it. It's how you use water. And then we build it in a way that's environmentally sensitive. And then, of course, we choose the furnishings and the fixtures and the things inside of the building in a way that is less impactful on the environment.
While we're on that subject, what does a green casino resort look like?
You know, if you think about a hotel or your house, it's much like your house. And you think about the things in your house that are impactful on the environment, it's the same in a hotel. So you start with a really good heating and air conditioning system. And when you build a new hotel, the way that we ensure that it is as energy efficient as possible is we actually do energy modeling from the very beginning in the design, even how we pick where daylighting comes in. Because if you have daylighting in the right place in a hotel, then you don't have to have lights on during the day. The next thing we look at is water. And water on a hotel is also the same as your house. We look at things like how much water per gallon do we emit in a faucet? How much water per gallon is there in a shower or a toilet? And then we look at the exterior. We minimize the amount of what we call ornamental use or horticulture use of water here. And we do that by choosing regionally appropriate plants, plants that aren't lush and don't require a lot of water, and then by using technologies that do things like measure the soil content and the moisture content in the soil, so we're not only watering when the soil's dry.
I understand that you guys, one of the options you've been taking advantage of is dynamic light bulbs. Tell me about dynamic light bulbs.
Well, we have probably the biggest lighting project that could be undertaken in a single city in Las Vegas, happening now in Las Vegas. And what we are doing is we are replacing literally every one of 1,300,000 light bulbs here. And we're evolving into the LED lighting technologies. You know, in Las Vegas and in the hospitality industry in general, lighting is really part of the experience that we serve as the guest. It's almost like a theatrical element of a leisure experience. If you've ever been in a room that has the wrong color of lighting, it actually makes the people look terrible too, right?
Like most of the ladies' rooms in restaurants on the planet.
Yes, or changing rooms in department
stores. Oh my God. Well, and, you know, that raises an interesting point. How do you sell sustainability internally?
I mean, I have to tell you, I'm very fortunate because our chairman, Jim Murren, is so invested in environmental sustainability and community engagement that it truly does start at the top. But that isn't enough to really integrate sustainability into the fabric of a large company. And so for us, it started out with, you know, speaking the language of the people who are listening to you instead of speaking your own language, and really putting environmental sustainability into terms that people could understand. And I used to call that demystifying green. So it's a matter of having that conversation in a way that people understand what you're saying, and having the credibility with that conversation that they know that you know what you're talking about. Our company actually requires the management of our company to reach key performance indicators or KPIs in their operating units that are designed around sustainability. And so we're really serious about it here at MGM. It isn't a side program and it isn't a marketing program. We truly believe that we are a better business when we're an environmentally sustainable business.
Which begs the question, how do you get guests to conserve energy and water?
You know, the best thing you can do in the hotel industry is to build an energy and water efficient venue and then to have a high level of recycling. We see that individuals are very interested in promoting their own social values.
A couple more questions about your green strategy, and then I want to talk about you for a moment. But what's the biggest challenge in making casinos resorts green?
So what we're focusing on right now, and where our challenge is right now, is how do we educate, excite, and motivate our 62,000 employees to advance those kinds of strategies in their own lives? Because if I can get 62,000 people to take greater environmental actions in their everyday lives, that's a much greater impact than even what I can do within my own four walls.
Well, and that's great. And in their own lives, they'll also be modeling it for the other people in their lives, which is powerful, so it will ripple out, especially in today's social media society.
One thing that we do that I'm really excited about is that we believe that engagement with our largest commercial customers can advance environmental technologies. And so my focus right now is looking at companies, other large companies, where we say, okay, it's the strategy that 1 + 1 = 3. If we take their best stuff and our best, we have scale, so they can do it with us, and we have scale, which is, you know, lots and lots of taps or carpet or whatever, we can accomplish something and bring it to market more quickly than they do.
Okay, so let's talk about you a little bit. You are both a change agent and a lifetime, if you will, executive employee of the company. And those two things do not usually go together. I was an entrepreneur myself in corporate America. So how do do you manage that dance? How do you do that? How do you drive change and yet stay, you know, building teams that want to have you on their team is great, but at the same time you're rocking their boat.
Well, I have a this weird combination of passion for life and gratitude around life and wanting to do well in a corporation and wanting the corporation to do well. And so I've been with the company for 24 years, and I've just been fortunate that I've worked in an organization that rewards and fosters that. The key to that is picking teams and assembling teams that are highly effective and highly motivated. They've just added to my my set of responsibilities recently and asked me to develop a joint innovation laboratory. And so I keep getting great work from the company, and they let me hire really good teams, and it usually turns into really exciting, fun, rewarding work that's valuable to the company.
Sounds like you've been creating an innovation lab anyway. Now they're finally giving you the title to do it. I'm a huge fan. I'm an innovation freak. So, and I think that communications is key to driving innovation, because without the ability to communicate these new ideas and have people respond to them appropriately, you're not going to drive innovation, because communication can shut down a discussion of new ideas, and it can enliven and advance a discussion of new ideas. And so to me, that's really, really critical.
Well, I totally agree with you. And in fact, I would build upon what you just said by saying that I think that poor communication is probably the death of innovation. I was just asked to be on the board of directors for Clean Tech Open, which is the largest clean energy accelerator in the world.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we can talk about that, because we've been a media sponsor for the Clean Tech Open a few years in a row here in the Southeast. And in fact, I interviewed the winner before she won, the winner of the Clean Tech Open Southeast a few months ago, who then went on to win the Clean Tech Open National and has been going gangbusters.
Interestingly, Joan, I think this will resonate with you. The reason I was nominated to that board is because, I mean, not the only reason, but is because I'm a female. Mm-hmm. And in tech, to find a female that's a seasoned executive with significant business experience is very difficult.
And just sort of on that point, and we'll close on this, we both want to advance women. And a key sort of valley of death, to use the incubator vernacular for a moment. What happens to be the valley of death for women is middle management. Oftentimes in companies like MGM or even smaller companies, they come in at entry level, they advance, but then this transition beyond middle management to senior level or even almost senior level seems to be stagnated somewhere. What advice would you give to women who right now feel sort of stagnated or plateaued at that level and really want to excel, don't feel they're using their potential?
The first thing that I would advise a middle management woman who wants to, ascend into senior management is find a good mentor. Because what you learn is that there's a certain level of confidence, and it actually comes down to actual behaviors that people need to adopt and learn to make it into senior management. And what often happens to women and men as well, but what often happens to people who get stuck in middle management is that they become viewed as the workhorse or as the dependable one, or as the indispensable one. And they build this reputation, and it becomes so great that they stop moving upward. And I think women in particular tend to want to take on everything and be perfect at everything. And I think that coaching from senior-level women and senior-level men, my mentor's a man, I think, helps. I think that seeking out professional coaching for people who want to be senior executives and want to make that leap is a worthwhile investment. We have a mentoring program at MGM that senior level executives are required to mentor. Hmm. And we're not required to mentor like call them once a week. It's a structured program where a mentee, and I'm talking all the way to the senior level of the company, as high as you can go, where we work with a vice president level employee where we actually help them learn techniques in how to be more effective in their jobs.
I'm also a fan, frankly, of having several maybe what I might call informal mentors as well, because you get different perspectives from different people, because we all come from our own trajectory and our own experience, right? And so you can then, A, sort of hear different options of how to deal with something, and B, to your point of confidence, you can get a better sense of what resonates for you. And you don't get locked into this position of, oh, well, they said I should do X, so I have to do that, which can be a trap.
You know, if you think about it, your mentorship is interesting because I think that just traditional workplaces where it was highly dominated by men, my guess is that informal mentorships started informally between, you know, men and a young man that an older man might want to see do well or he sees potential in him. And there probably was some reticence to develop that kind of a relationship with a young woman in case it would be misperceived. And so I think that the women had to go seek out senior mentors, where men, that may have evolved naturally. All executives, when we see somebody with potential and someone that we think would really benefit the company, with the company investing in them, we want that person to succeed because the company is only as good as the people who are operating it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. And I will be right back with what I heard Cindy say. So send me your questions for Cindy as well. So Cindy Ortega is really remarkable, Senior Vice President and Chief Sustainability Officer of MGM Resorts International. Here's what I heard Cindy say in summary. First of all, I'm delighted to hear that there's no trade-off between luxury and sustainability, that if you design it right from the beginning, that there doesn't have to be a trade-off. And in fact, one of the fun points that I really liked about what she said was when addressing the light bulb situation and that they're replacing 1,300,000 light bulbs is kind of mind-boggling, but that the light is part of the entertainment experience. Remember, a resort like MGM especially is an entertainment venue, right? So that light becomes part of the experience. How many of us have been in the ladies' room where the light was terrible? We know how much lighting matters. But what's also interesting that she said was that you can encourage the guests to recycle and practice green behaviors like they would at home, but the key is really, if I might put it this way, circumventing the guest, where you develop and build the system of the property from the beginning to be eco-friendly so that almost no matter what the guest does, that you're already saving water and energy and natural resources. What I also thought was really interesting that she said, and it's really key for anyone selling sustainability practices, but really selling anything internally in a company, is to speak the language of the people you are talking to. And frankly, this works in your family too, and every relationship. Speak the language of the people you are talking to, which I would add, you have to understand the values and the agendas of those people and look at the world through their eyes as much as you can, because they're looking at it differently. They come from a different set of experiences and, frankly, different performance measures in their job. And to have the credibility to support that you know what you're talking about. The biggest challenge I thought was really interesting is to educate and motivate their 62,000 employees to take these green actions in their own lives. And I would add that those 62,000 employees then each have their own networks, social networks, family networks, friends networks, colleagues, who then go on and spread the message as a model to other people. And that in finding the best technologies that MGM is looking to collaborate with other companies because they bring scale and they want to innovate and innovate as quickly as possible, especially in today's world. I just adore Cindy's passion and gratitude for life, as she put it, and that she wants the company to do well and to do well in it, which I think is key for anybody in any job. You have to have a passion for what you do and gratitude for being there and want the company to do well. If you're in a job and you're miserable, it's going to show in your performance and you're not going to do well. So you have to change your attitude, frankly, before you change your job. Because if you embrace it as an opportunity and find the silver lining, find the opportunity, maybe it's just pushing your buttons and you need to grow in a different way. And speaking for the Green community, we are delighted to have Cindy on the board of the Clean Tech Open. And we, as you know, Green Connections has been a media sponsor of the Clean Tech Open for a few years now, particularly in the Southeast region. So we welcome her to the Clean Tech Open family. And in closing, the other key for career advancement in the green economy, or frankly in any industry, is to find a mentor and get professional coaching. And as I kind of said a minute ago, look at your own role. Look at what you're doing. Look at your own behaviors. Be your own critic. If you were counseling you, what would you tell yourself? So thank you for joining us. Please send you your questions for Cindy. You can send it to us at info@greenconnectionsradio.com. at Twitter, at Joan Michelson, or at Green Connects DC. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joan Michelson. This is Green Connections Radio. You can find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com. Like us on Facebook, and you can now find us on iTunes and TuneIn. Thank you very much. See you next time.
Excellent interview.
Capital Post Production, your one-stop shop for all your post-production needs. Call us at 703-712-8757. We're a media company that specializes in broadcast, web, and radio production. Let us finish your project no matter where you are, across the U.S. or across the world. Go to capitalpostproduction.com or call us at 703-712-8757 and let us know how we can help you.